And turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. And had a great, a lot of fun last week teaching on some essentials of what we have to live that victorious life that God's given to us. And if you did not get that message, I really encourage you to go online and get that teaching last week. You'll really be blessed by that. I think it will just help you in many areas of your life to understand what you have and some of the essentials, just walking in victory in this life. God wants you walking in victory. He wants you walking in victory. Amen. You know, our job is just to maintain what we have. Oh, you didn't hear me. Our job is to maintain what we have through renewing our mind to all that God has done for us. Praise God. Awesome. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. What does it say? For by what? Grace. Everybody say grace real loud. Grace. I love grace. How many love grace? Aren't you? Woo! Thankful for grace. It is amazing. For by grace you've been what? Saved. Through how? How are we saved? Through faith. Through faith. By grace we've been saved through faith. Now notice this. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. Hold up your Bibles. Let's say it like we mean it this morning. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. And I will never be the same. Never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to somebody this morning and say, grace and faith go hand in hand. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Now, you guys know I am a huge proponent of grace. Grace is amazing. Grace is awesome. Amen. And then also, I'm a huge proponent of faith. Grace and faith go together. They are balanced and they go together. God wants you walking in grace and faith. They go together. If you take one, you get over to the extreme. A lot of people today take grace and they say, you know, grace is so good, I can do anything and it's okay. Well, you know, you can do anything, but there are circumstances that you'll pay for doing anything. And actually, you really don't understand the fullness of grace if that is your opinion or attitude. Because look at Titus 2:16, I believe it is. Go over to Titus 2:16 and look at this scripture, what it clearly states about knowing grace and understanding grace to the full capacity. So 2:16, I believe. No, 2:12. Let's try that. 2:12. There you go, 2:12. Teaching us, let's go back up a little bit. Let's go back to verse 11, all right? Verse 11, let's start there. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to whom? To all men. The grace of God has appeared to who? All men. So all men have grace appeared to. Everyone over this whole earth, grace has appeared to them. All men. And what does it do? Grace does something. Grace teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live how? Soberly, righteously, and what? Godly in this where? Present age. So grace is a teacher. Grace teaches us something. Grace teaches us how we are supposed to live in this present world. And so a lot of people get on the side of grace and say, you can do anything and it's okay. Well, I mean, you can do anything. You have freedom. There's freedom. Amen. There's so much more freedom and grace than ever legality. But go ahead and do it and be stupid. Stupid? God didn't want you stupid. God wants you walking in the full of wisdom. So grace is really great. And then you have faith, and people get on the other side of extreme faith. And God wants us to be balanced. And I hear people say, what do I have to do to get the blessing of God on my life? You know, I pray, I read my Bible, I do all these things. What do I do? Well, they really haven't understood and they don't understand the fullness of what grace and faith, and what happens is they fall into works. And God doesn't want you living there, amen? So they fall into this works and they don't understand what's going on in their life. They say, how do I get the blessings of God? The blessings of God are already here. Amen. They're already provided for us. And so the good news is that you just receive them by faith. You receive them by faith. So in the question, the explanation lies the root. They have fallen into the trap of linking God's response to their performance. And they feel like the more I respond, the more I pray, the more I read my Bible, the more I do these things, and all those are good, but the more I do these things, the more blessed I'll be. Well, I got good news for you. You're already blessed. You're already blessed. Amen. So they've not really understood the balance of grace and faith. So the word grace means unmerited what? Unearned favor of God. And the good news, grace has nothing to do with you. It's all God. Grace is all of what God has done. And it turns to me and says, grace has nothing to do with you. In fact, grace existed long before you came on this earth. So God has already provided everything by grace. In other words, faith is your positive response to what grace has done. And faith only appropriates what God has already provided for you. Therefore, faith is your part. Grace is his part. Faith is your part. And I used to think that everybody had all this different, you know, well, he has great faith, they have less faith, but really all of us have been given the same measure of faith. Look at Romans 12:3. All of you have the same measure of faith. If you're a Christian this morning, if you're a believer today, all of you have the same measure of faith. I used to think that, you know, there was a container that measured 12 ounces, then one that measured 2, then one that measured 1. No, it's all the same container. We've all been given the same measure. Look what he says. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt each one what? We've all been given the same measure. Every one of us. Look at Galatians 5:22. As a born-again believer, you're not trying to get the fruit of the Spirit. You have the fruit of the Spirit already in you, already in your spirit. God's Spirit is in you. The fruit of the Spirit, notice he didn't say fruits of the Spirit. I know there's some fruity, but it didn't say fruity of the Spirit. Don't be a fruity. Hello? Fruits of the Spirit. He said fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, right? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Look at all this stuff in you. Gentleness, self-control. That's why I only had that much of a donut this morning instead of that much. Self-control, right? Self-control. Against such there is what? Wow. You know what that tells me? That is provided by grace. Grace has given you all of the fruit of the Spirit in you. Wow. Back up again. Let's go through this. What's given to you? But there's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Faith is already in you. His faithfulness, his faith is already in you. You have it. Amen. You don't have to work for it. It's already there. You just have to release it. Faith is actively released by the Word of God. That's what Romans tells us. Romans 10, the Word of God actively releases our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So every time we hear the Word of God, our faith is released. Every time we're standing on the Scripture, our faith is released. Amen. Hello. Anybody hear what I'm saying this morning? So we actively release our faith By God's word. When God's word says, by his stripes I'm been healed, and I'm standing in my healing, I'm believing for healing, but I feel an attack coming on me, what do I instantly do? I get to the word, and I line up my thought life, and I agree with that word. And faith is released when I speak it out of my mouth and agree with that word. Amen. When I look at my checkbook and it starts to talk back to me, come on, somebody. Some of you deal with that every week. You go through there and you look at that and you look at your bills and you look at, and that checkbook starts talking. What do? I pick up that word and I start talking back to it, and my faith is released. Amen. You need to speak to your bank account. I hear people all the time say, well, easy come, easy go. No, that's not what I say. I say money cometh to me. That's my confession. I hear that all the time. Well, easy come, easy go. No, money comes to me. I'm not going to allow my bank account to dictate what God's promised me. And my God said, I'm going to supply all of your needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus. Amen. All of my needs. He says, it's my desire for me to prosper and be in health even as my soul prospers. So when something starts talking back to you that's contrary to the word of God, faith is activated when you start open your mouth and start talking back to it. It's exactly how we're saved. Amen. We speak out of our mouth. We respond out of our mouth according to what God's word says about our situation. Oh, come on. Somebody say amen. It's a good word. You don't just sit there and allow the enemy to beat up your mind and to say you're going to be in lack, or to say you're never going to receive what God's given to you, because you already got it. If you get to that revelation that I already have it, amen, and my response is to release it out of my mouth by faith according to what God's word says. Amen. And you release it out of your mouth and you say, thank you, Lord, for what God's word has said to me. And I receive it and I release it out of my mouth. Praise the Lord. That is good stuff, Pastor. Amen. So what does it say? Sometimes we read a passage from Scripture that's so familiar we don't stop to think about what's really going on. What this pastor over in Ephesians said is we are saved by grace through faith, not one or the other. So think of it this way. Go back to Ephesians, what do we have, chapter 2, 8 and 9? Amen. Go back to that verse. It takes both faith and grace working together to receive our salvation. Salvation is not dependent on grace alone. If it was, then everyone would be saved and going to heaven. And some people believe that. For God's grace is the same towards everyone. Look at Ephesians 2:11. God's grace is the same towards everyone. That's what I just said. It's the same towards everyone. It's there. He's already given it. He's already given the gift of salvation to everyone through Jesus Christ. But it takes a response of faith for everyone to receive what God has given. So most of us believe that in order to be saved, we need to ask God to forgive us of our sins. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Whoa, what, Pastor? The Bible doesn't teach that. That's man-made religion. Look at 1 John 2:2. 1 John 2:2, what does it say? Look at this. This is good, guys. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, not for our sins only, but what? For the whole world. Jesus' atoning sacrifice not only was for ours, but also the sins of the whole world. Jesus just didn't die for those he knew would accept him. He died for every sinner who's ever lived on this earth. He died before you ever committed a sin. Think about that. Wow. Sin is not an issue with God. And that is hard for people to swallow, because there is so much preaching on sin. The Lord's not waiting for us to ask him to forgive us of our sins. In fact, the sins of the entire world, past, present, and future, are already forgiven. Adolf Hitler had grace extended to him. He did. Jesus loved Adolf Hitler and paid for every one of his sins. God is no respecter of persons, Romans 2:11. That's what the Bible teaches us. God has already done his part. Now it's up to us to receive the truth by responding by faith and make it a reality in your life. I love what John the Baptist said. Look at John 1:29, one of my favorite scriptures. I don't know why I love this scripture so much. I guess it just gets down to the heart of what Jesus did for us. When John had this revelation and he looked and he saw Jesus coming, and he said this, he said, John 1:29, and the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away," what? "The sin of the world." That's why Jesus was marred beyond any man, because all of the sin of the world was laid upon Jesus. Look at John 16:8-9. We've dealt with this a little bit, but I want to deal with it again because people get so confused here. They think the main job of the Holy Spirit is to convict people of sin. That is not the job of the Holy Spirit. That's the job of the enemy. That's the job of the enemy, not the Holy Spirit. That's the job of your own conscience, not the Holy Spirit. Look at John 16:8-9. "And when he has come," speaking of the Comforter, "he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Oh, but he said of sin, Pastor. Well, what is the sin that he's convicting the world of? Here's what he convicts the world of. This is what the sin is. "Because they do not believe in me." What is he convicting the world of? One sin, the sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. He is to convict the world of the sin of unbelief. Look what he says. Let's go on down. "Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more." Here's the job of the Holy Spirit in our life as believers. He convicts you that you're righteous. He's wanting you to understand what Jesus did for you, that you're no longer just a sinner saved by grace. No, you are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So you got to start lining your thinking up about what God's done for you, that he's taken all this sin, removed it from your life, and put your born-again spirit brand new, 100% perfected. Wow. And now you go around, and the job of the Holy Spirit is to say, "You're righteous, you're righteous. Jesus' blood was enough, you're righteous." Because if the devil can convince you you're unrighteous, then you won't receive the goodness of God in your life. That's good teaching. Oh, that's good teaching, man. You know, and most people, they're not there. "Oh, I made a mistake today. I did something. I blew it." You know what? It didn't affect your spirit one bit. Your spirit is vacuum sealed, packed. Woo! Nothing can penetrate that. Vacuum sealed, packed in Jesus. Now, your carnal mind at times is not, and you get the spirit of slap against somebody. You know, I wanted to punch somebody out yesterday. Pastor, my wife had talked to me about that. "Were you being carnal?" I sure was. I admit, I want to knock him out. You know, thank God I have the Spirit within me. Amen. Helps me, and I have the Word within me. Amen. Thank God. I'd be a tyrant if it wasn't. Because, someone says I'm Scottish, Irish, and I don't know, supposed to have some Indian. I know I got some soul in here. Soul. I know I got some soul somewhere. You don't have legs like mine and don't have soul. Got soul in there. Amen. And but thank God I got the Word and the Holy Spirit. And I identify with my nature instead of wanting to get off in the flesh and knock somebody out and get in a big brawl. I don't have to do that because the Holy Spirit restrains me. I know who I am in Christ. I have to remind myself just like you do. You have to remind yourself, because you know what? Sometimes that old, stuff that's already gone in our mind wants to come up. Our soul, we have to constantly renew. Our spirit is perfected. Old things are already passed away. Old things have become new in our spirit. It's our soul, man, that we constantly have to regulate by the Word of God and by the Spirit within us. And if we're not identifying with that, you might slap somebody. Just saying. Come on, is it just me? Is it just me? Anybody else every day? Come on, be honest. Bunch of sinners, so no. Amen. That's what, you know, hey, and you know what? God still loves you. God wasn't mad at me because God probably wanted to slap that guy too. He said, yeah, I'm with you, buddy. Let's take him on. Come on, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. Amen. Oh, my gosh. So, but it's true. We still live in this world. We still have this soul realm we deal with, you know, and we have to just allow that transformation to take place with the Word of God. You know, and if we're not, you know, last week I talked about that soul being that filter, and some people still have stuff stuck in their filter. They haven't had a good filter clean yet. And the way you renew your mind is by the washing of the Word. The Word washes and renews our mind. That's what the Word says. The Bible says we are renewed. We're washed with that Word, right? And so when we allow that Word to wash us, then our soul man lines up with the spirit man, amen, and we react like we're supposed to in Christ. And I did. I stayed sweet. Hallelujah. I just kept smiling. Amen. Went about my way. You know, I thought, no, I ain't going to let that affect me, although I was going to knock him out. In my younger days, before I was fully transformed to where I am now, Holly would tell you, I would have probably knocked him out. Or at least I tried, you know. So I've never been afraid of a fight. You know what I'm saying? Just saying. So, all right. Let's go on down. Y'all still with me this morning? I'm just being real, guys. That's all. Just being real. Come on. So you're like, well, I never do that, Pastor. What, liar. You give somebody press your button just the wrong way at the wrong time. And you're just thinking, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. of judgment. Look at this. Of judgment because who's judged? It's not you. Who's judged? Who else is judged? Look at this scripture. Satan is judged. The ruler of this world has been judged, folks. Not you, Satan. God sees you and he loves you just the way you are, right? Go on down. Look at this. I have many things to share with you, but you cannot bear them all. That's what he says. Amen. So concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. So the church often misinterprets the scripture and says the Holy Spirit is here to convict you of all your sins. That's not his job. He's here to convict you of righteousness, the single sin of not receiving Jesus. That's the only sin that he wants to convict the world. It's just not receiving Christ or believing on Christ. So people do not go to hell for committing adultery, stealing, murder. All those sins have been taken care of. The only sin that sends people to hell is rejecting Jesus. And some people are living in hell now because they've rejected Jesus. So Christ wants to be their personal Savior. That's all. All right? So the message that much of the church is preaching causes us to become conscious of sin instead of conscious of righteous. Most people are more sin conscious than they are righteous conscious. And guys, you can't receive everything God has for you if you're not righteous conscious and understanding, I'm in that place I can receive. It just blocks it. Look at Romans 3:19 through 22. Wow. It causes us to begin to link our performance to all the blessings of God when we're sin conscious. Did you hear what I'm saying? It causes you, I didn't pray enough. I didn't read enough. Oh, I got to pray more. I got to read more. And God wants you to read and pray. Listen to me. That's a good thing. Amen. But when you start doing it out of performance to try to get God to do something to appease him because you blew it that day because you did knock that guy out, and you stay away from church, that's why so many people stay away from church. Why? Why do people stay away from church? It's because the church, for the most part, preaches on sin more than they do on forgiveness, grace, and Jesus. Who wants to go to a place where your sin's pointed out all the time? I want to go to a place where I'm receiving the love and the grace and the unconditional love of God. Right? Amen. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it is to those who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Wow, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in the sight, for the law is the knowledge of what? What's the law the knowledge of? And people preach this all the time. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and by the prophets, even the righteousness of God through what? Faith in Christ to all and on all who believe. You all are righteous. Brother, you lost that love and feeling. Whoa, that love. Anyway, you are righteous, brother. Righteous. Turn to somebody and say, I am righteous. I am in the place to receive everything God has for me because I walk in righteousness. I am. Just come and say it out of your mouth. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God's grace provided not only for salvation, but also for everything you need in life. The provision is not based on whether you are reading the Bible, praying enough, going to church, paying your tithes, but whatever it is, it's not based on that. Before you were sick, God, through grace, provided healing. Already done. Before you ever became discouraged, God blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, Ephesians 1:3. So God anticipated every need you had ever had and already did it. Isn't that cool? Wow. Listen to this. Jesus hadn't saved, healed, delivered, or prospered a single person in 2,000 years. Say what? When God provided grace 2,000 years ago, now it becomes a reality when mixed with faith. What he provided 2,000 years ago now becomes a reality when mixed by faith. He hasn't saved anybody in 2,000 years. It's already done. You just got to mix it with faith. He hadn't healed anybody in 2,000 years. It's already done. You got to mix it with faith. And boy, we have just been so hung up on this performance thing, thinking if I get to that place, if I finally, and I heard somebody, I read something on Facebook today. Wow, we had a great service. God really moved. And I'm thinking, really? God moved 2,000 years ago. Really? Hello? And they just don't understand all that God's done for them. That's why we lack so much in the body of Christ, because we're still convicting ourselves. If the devil isn't convicting you, you're falling under your own conviction. God didn't want you living there. He wants you living under righteousness. Hello? Faith appropriates what God has done. Faith doesn't move God. He's already moved. God isn't stuck. It's you. I said, God isn't stuck. Hello? He's not stuck. Praise God. Hebrews 4:2. Wow. Many Christians believe that God moves sovereignly as he wills. I hear this all the time. God, if it's your will, that's religious teaching. That God controls everything and nothing can happen without his permission. That is not true. Everything is not up to God. God gave you authority on this earth. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word that they heard did not profit them. Why? Why didn't it profit them? Because it wasn't mixed with what? Wow. You know, when my dad died, somebody came to me and said, well, you know, God needed him in heaven. I know they were trying to comfort me, but God didn't need him. I needed him. I was 17 years old. I needed my father. And then they start blaming God for doing everything. Hello? Why would God need my dad in heaven? God didn't kill him. That's not what the word teaches, but that's what most people teach and believe. There is a devil, and the Bible says Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Satan is the one who devours, not God. Hello? God has been misrepresented. If he was guilty of all things we blame him for, there isn't a civilized nation on the face of this earth that wouldn't convict him of crimes against humanity. We blame God for everything. Hello? Are you all here with me? If you really believe that God controls everything, what's the use of doing anything? Why should we do anything? After all, it's all up to God, right? If you believe that God's trying to teach you something through sickness or poverty, and I hear that, I hear that all the time. I'm sick. I've got such a great testimony for God. Hello? If you believe that God's trying to teach you something through sickness or poverty, then why go to the doctor? Just die. Why go to the doctor? It doesn't make any sense to me. Why seek a job if you think God's trying to teach you something through poverty? Just be broke. Have you ever heard that? Why not suffer as much as you can? Suffer and really learn. Suffer. I mean, how dumb can you be and still breathe? Really? I hear that all the time. Oh, God's teaching me. I know God's teaching me. I'm learning something out of this. Well, learn quickly. That's a terrible doctrine. Terrible doctrine. Denominations are teaching that when you get sick or experience financial problems, God's causing it so he can teach you something or humble you. That's calling evil good and good evil. Right? That is wrong. God is not responsible for killing babies, for rape, for violence, for poverty, for sickness. Satan is the author of all those things. The Bible says, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. It's a good fight because we always win. Hello? You can't just tell the devil to casually leave you alone. You've got to take the word and your authority over him. Get out of my house. Get out of my family. Get out of my checkbook. Hello? Get out of my health. I am the healed of the Lord. You've got to take dominion. Amen. Stand up and take it. God's will didn't automatically come to pass. Jesus said that not everyone will be saved. Yet Scripture says it is God's will for everyone to be saved. So you got to take what God's given you and act appropriately by faith. Amen. And rebuke the devil. Don't let him hang around you. It's God's will for everyone to be healed. Acts 10:38. Look at this. Look at this, what it says. It's God's will for everyone to be healed. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit with power, who went about doing what? Bad, putting sickness on people so they can have a testimony. I don't want that type of testimony. Anybody with me? I do not want that type of testimony. Amen. No, Jesus went about doing what? Bad, putting sickness on people, causing hurricanes, earthquakes. No, what did Jesus go about doing? Good, everybody say good. And healing a few, once in a while. Well, if we get just right, if the moon phase comes, I'll be healed. If I pray hard enough and I speak in tongues for 5 hours, I'll be healed. Nothing wrong with that. But then you realize, hold on a second, Jesus already done it. So if he's already done it and I've already got it, what do I need to do? I just need to respond to what he's already got. Oh, this is good, church. Amen. Because 1 Peter says, by his stripes we were healed. Looking back to what he's done for us. It didn't say looking ahead. It says we were. Is were present or past? Past. Were. Already done. And the Bible says you know the truth and the truth sets you free. And the truth is that the truth is that you need to put your faith in what God has already done, not in what you do. Isn't that good? God has done his part by giving his son, provided by grace. Amen. Now what we do our part by just releasing our faith in what God has already done. Isn't that simple? That's so simple. And then people is like, so hard. I'm trying to, so hard. Just believe it. Just believe it. God can just, just already done, and manifestations already coming your way. Hallelujah. Stand this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Wow. Many emphasize grace, others emphasize faith, but very few emphasize grace and faith. You got to take them together. It's like salt. Don't divide between sodium and chloride. You take one, you take the other, you're going to die. But you got to mix them together, right? We mix them together. Praise God. And we put them together. When we put them together, it's something powerful. And we understand that we're no longer just an old sinner saved by grace. Do we still yet sin? Yes, because we haven't been completely transformed in our mind. Amen? Do we still miss it? Yes. But when you do miss it, don't let the enemy beat you up and don't beat yourself up. The moment you miss it, you need to say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's who I am. Because he's a good, good father. Amen. And he loves me in spite of myself. Turn to somebody and say, God loves you in spite of you. And say, that's a big love. That's a big love. Aren't you glad? Wow. And we share that with other people. You know what? God loves them in spite of them. God loved that guy yesterday in spite of himself. And I did too. Amen. Raise your hands this morning. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you today. We are loved and we walk in the balance of grace and faith. Thank you today, Lord. We respond appropriately by faith to everything you've given us. We respond to healing. We respond to financial blessing. Thank you, Lord. We respond to a clear, sound mind. We respond to our emotional souls being healed. Thank you, God. We are responding. We're not an orphan today. We're not an outcast today. We are a child of God, a son and daughter of the Most High. Hallelujah. We dwell in your presence today, God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your presence is within us today. God, we're unconditionally loved. When we blow it, God, you still love us. You still see us as favored today. We are the disciples that Jesus loves today. Thank you for that, Lord. God, we just appropriate everything through faith today. We receive, we take the blessing that you have given us, God. Amen. The blessing has come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Not by the law, not by effort, but by faith. We respond to it and receive it. Now open your mouth this morning and say, I receive everything Jesus has provided for me for this life. Where I am right now, I receive it. I receive my healing. I receive my prosperity. I receive the peace of God. I receive it today. In Jesus' name, fully, everything, everything, in Jesus' name. Amen. Woo! Give God some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know why you are so loved today? I tell you what I want you to do. Find seven. Seven's a number of perfection, right? Find seven people today. Tell them how blessed they are to you. Amen? And bless them. Do it right now. Amen. Praise God. Good to see you guys this morning. You are loved.